Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to share a word with you I believe is a word from the Lord. And the message is entitled, Let God be God. Amen. Those that are here say that, say, Let God be God. Now you out there, everybody say, out there in here, come on, let God be God. Say it, let God be God. Well, you say, well, God is God. How can I let God? No, I'm not saying you helping God. You help yourself by saying, let God be God. I want to challenge us today and encourage us today in this word. And I want you to really pay attention, well, you always do, but pay special attention. Don't be distracted by anything else right now. Be hearers of the word. Lock into this message today, because I believe the Lord is going to help all of us in this season. And I'm going to say that don't assume that you've never been distracted or you've never let other gods in your life. Because you'll learn here today that even though we never stop loving the living God, or serving the living God, sometimes other things get in our way. We'll see it in the message. All right, first scripture is from Psalm 86 and verse 10. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. One of David's praises, Psalms of praise. Now, here is a key scripture. Exodus 20, verse 3. The Lord said, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, it occurred to me in praying over this message and over this text, when God said, you shall have no other gods before me, he's not concerned about being replaced as God. So when he said, don't have gods before me, he wasn't saying, don't let any God replace me. He's saying, while you still know me, don't let other gods get before me. Please hear that. Because none of us are guilty of the first part. None of us replace God, the living God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But what happens, we let other gods, small g, other gods come before him. Amen? He didn't say replace me. He said before me, in front of me, in the way, in your life, distracting you. And we'll see what that means here on today. Now, here's a quote from Dallas Willard, one of my favorite writers, the late Dallas Willard, who passed a couple of years ago. We are living in a world where confusion reigns. Confusion leads to becoming lost. People are not lost because they're going to wind up in the wrong place. They wind up in the wrong place because they're lost. It's a subtle but a very important statement that when we don't let God be God and other gods come before him, what occurs in a person's life is confusion. Other gods only bring confusion. Not confusion like a person is you know, they can't think and they can't function. No, I mean confusion, very rational people who are believing the wrong things, who have the wrong focus, who have let other gods come before the living God. And that is confusion. A person can be confused with a three-piece suit, fashion tie, and drive a Mercedes-Benz and have a high-paying job and be totally confused about who God is, what God does. So confusion is low level, confusion is high level, confusion is mid-level. And as Dallas Willard said here, that people are not lost because they wind up in the wrong place. No, they're in the wrong place because they're lost. And so this is important to recognize that when we let God be God, The confusion cannot stay around. Amen? The confusion can't stay. And we will never be lost if we know God. Listen, I may not know where I am, where I'm going, what's coming the next day, but I'm not lost. I'm not lost if I know where God is. I'm not lost if he knows where I am. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Here's an important scripture for this lesson. Brethren, join in my example and note those who so walk as you have for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Watch this. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Let God be God, because it's possible for one's belly to be God. Now, belly does not mean the stomach, center section of your body. The sense of the word belly, as it's used here, means this. It means to be given up to pleasures. It's the innermost part of a man, of a person, the soul, the heart, as the seat of thought, feeling, and choice. Well, the belly then speaks of the motivations of a person, their primary motivation. And the fact is this, a God is something or someone that we serve. It is something or someone we give our attention to. It is someone or someone we think about all the time. Most of the time. It's something that dominates our planning and our thinking and our choices. And so that if a person is given up to pleasures, then literally their small g God is their pursuit of pleasure. Again, he said, God said, have no other gods before me, in front of me, in my way. We don't replace God with anything. But then we let other gods get in the middle, in the way, in our view, and therefore the living God isn't getting all the attention, all the focus he deserves. The person who is lost is obsessed with self and circumstances. They dismiss the world while embracing their own thoughts and feelings as divine direction. Their God is their belly, as we said. The lost person does not want God to be God. He is insulted at the suggestion that he is lost, thinking, how dare you speak to me like that? God cannot be lost. You get the sense of that? The person thinks that they're God, or their motivations are of God. And so they're offended when God says to them, that's wrong. Don't go that way. That's another God besides me. Or the person who says, I can do anything that I want. That you'll get that in a minute, okay? That's the indicator of a person's God is their belly. Whatever they want, whatever they think, whatever their opinion is, that's the way it is. And that is an indicator of a person who has put God, a small g God, in front of a living God. All right, there are three gods. There are three gods. Watch this. There are three gods. First of all, there is God made in the image of man. God, small g, made in the image of man. Now, we know the Bible says that man is made in the image of God. But there is a God that's made in the image of man. And this is the God that people generally believe in. A God who has to serve them. A God who does not, that this God does not exist. As I always tell you, God does not follow us. We must follow him. Amen. Second, again, there are three gods. The second kind of God is there is a God, small g, that occupies our thoughts, our minds, guides our decisions, spending, and planning. But this God is the God of all the things that crowd us, that get in front of the living God. And I suggest this to you, that COVID is a God like that. Now, COVID's real. It's real. But here's the problem. When people talk about COVID all the time, I mean, every conversation, everything's about COVID, you know, then that's become that's a God, small g, that's gotten in front of the living God. Yeah, we deal with COVID, and we handle it. We're doing things the right way. I won't de-emphasize that. Mask and distancing is all important. But once you've done all of that, then if we let that COVID become a little God to us, you got people, man, who are worshiping that thing so much, they can't go in their own yard, you know, without being worried about leaving their house and go into their front yard or be in the middle of a park somewhere by themselves and feel compelled to put a mask on all by themselves. Because that little God of COVID demands your attention and demands you to fear it, to be afraid of it. I ain't afraid of COVID. I respect what it actually is, the danger of it. But man, this world is full of stuff. COVID ain't the only virus in this world. Amen. All kind of mess out here. I'm saying COVID's a bad one because there's no vaccine. And that makes it dangerous. Plus, people can be asymptomatic and spread it around. But this all we know all that. We know all the facts now. So then we don't want to let COVID or any decision, what guides our spending, decisions, and planning and more. These items indicate that maybe what you have going on is a God, small g, in front of a living God. You think about that for a moment. We can all identify in our lives. We have had instances where we've allowed something to get close to us, to dominate our thinking and occupy our mind so much where we hardly think of the living God. We go back from living God to the small g God. Living God, small g. We are, in fact, we can track our thinking. We may find out we think more about the small g gods that are before the living God. I mean, God convicted me about that. All right, there are three gods. Third, is then there is the gods, capital G. There is the God whom people forget. The living God whom we all have to serve, who has a son named Jesus Christ. That's why Allah is not God. He don't have a son named Jesus. The God that exists, the God that exists is the reason for our existence. All right, so it's pretty obvious to us as believers and followers of Christ, but we live in a world that is confused. And our job is to bring light and clarity through preaching the gospel. And yet we as believers, as Israel of old, do not want to make the mistake of having God remind us, don't put any other gods before me. Again, God's not saying you're trying to replace me with God. No, he's saying that you know me and yet you let these other things come in your life and get in front of me. Another quote from Dallas Willard. When the light of God is absent, the intellect becomes dysfunctional, trying to devise a truth that will be compatible with the basic falsehood that man is God. That's what we see today. That's exactly the issue we have today. That people are trying to, put this slide back up, please. People are trying to use their minds, but their intellect is dysfunctional. And they're trying to devise a truth that is compatible with what they believe. Now just meditate on that thought, very important thought, because this is one of the reasons why people are lost. Those small g gods, especially the God in their own mind, their own self-God, has made them dysfunctional. And that the truth they devise is compatible with what they believe is wrong and false. Now, let me give you indicators of the true God. How do you know and be assured? How can you help people understand as you preach and evangelize? What are indicators of the true God? Indicators. Number one, that our God, the living God, is from everlasting to everlasting. The mother gods, they had a start date, right? They got a start date. And you can find the book that came out in the 5th century, 3rd century, you know, whatever. But the living God, you know, he has no beginning. Second, the true God is known to Adam, Abraham, Moses, even pagans of every generation have known that there is a true God that they don't like, that they hate, refuse to follow, which is what says he's there. Even atheists like, I don't believe in God, which says you believe in God because you're working against what's real. Amen? Like, folks, I don't believe in no global warming. And we get warmer and warmer, you know what I'm saying? So no matter what you think, that small g God is gotten in front of your intellect. If I may say, it's made you somewhat dysfunctional. I was going to say crazy, but I just say dysfunctional, okay? Next, the living God, the true God, has the power to create, destroy, heal, and reform. The living God passes final judgment. The living and true God knows the hearts of people. That's an important one right there. These false gods, the other gods, these small g gods, don't know anything about the hearts of people. Because the hearts of people have invented them. The true and living God manifests his presence in the earth through the Holy Spirit. And the true living God has a son named Jesus Christ, who himself is the Son of God. So let's be clear. Now, we who are believers are clear about this. But as you minister to people, people say, God, I follow God. They talk about God. You know, it's almost like some people say, I got the Spirit. I want to say, which Spirit do you have? Right? So people say, I'm a prophet. Why? Because I hear from God. Everybody hear from God. That'll make you a prophet. See? So people have gone to, generally the culture is so deep into putting gods before the living God until people will say and believe just about anything now, without scripture, without even opening the Bible, without even citing scripture. They expect you to think that because they said it, it's somehow true. Now, here's some keys to letting God be God in your life. I'm going to close with these seven points. Here's some keys. Again, let God be God. Again, not that God is concerned you're going to replace him with somebody else. No, but that you know he's God, but you still let these other things in your life and get in front of him. So the first thing is, one, allow God to intervene into your deadness. That's a strange statement. Deadness represents things separated from the life and the power of God. I'll give you an example. Let's say if, you know, you've gone through a season. Well, I think COVID, good example. COVID has helped us draw close to God, but it's also made us weary and tired and somewhat depressed for various reasons. And in that sense, say, for example, in the area, say if, you know, you have found yourself really not praying like you should, because you need to be praying with other people physically more, and now you're praying, you got to pray by yourself. Well, maybe deadness has come into your prayer life as a result of not being able to pray with people, which is what you prefer to do. Well, the fact is, you know, you can, obviously that's deadness that can bring, you can bring life to that by allowing the Holy Spirit to renew you. The Holy Spirit is life. He is light in any area of your life, your prayer life, finances, your marriage, whatever it is, parenting, whatever it might be. If when deadness comes in and that deadness brings depression and heaviness, spirit of heaviness comes in, when that stuff shows up at your doorstep, you know what you can do. Let God be God. And identify what little gods have got in front of God. Here's one right here I give you. You're watching too much news. You're watching too much news. You know what I'm saying? And now these apps, they throw news at you. You can't, you know, I gotta turn stuff off all the time. Because they want to, you get up, the first thing you see, the phone lights up, blows up, and the news, headlines, you know. You got 1,000 more coronavirus cases in California. Are you in California? No. Well, we got 80 here. Whatever it is. So I'm telling you, too much news is a God that's bringing deadness and confusion into your life. That's exactly what I see. That's what God is saying. Too much of that is bringing deadness because it's a small g God you've let get in front of God. I'm not saying don't watch the news. I didn't say that. Of course you watch the news. But how much news do you need? And how much of the Bible do you have? How much worship and praise and listening to the word, how much of that is occupying your mind? Number two, understand the principle. Again, letting keys to letting God be God in your life. Number two, understand the principle of separation from the world. This does not mean that we don't engage with the world, which we obviously and necessarily do. It means that we're being controlled by the world. Or not being controlled by the world, the typo there. We're not being controlled by the world, not even by COVID, which can become a small g God. I already addressed that. So then the Bible tells us that we should not, for example, fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says don't be companion with a fornicator. I mean, the things the Bible says separate from, because see, if we engage with people, certain people or certain things, God knows that we're not God, and that if we go away from God's leading, we can only invite these lesser gods to get in front of him. So what happens is we sometimes get into stuff and little these small g gods show up, we just kind of beat them back, you know, kind of beat them off. But if we keep going around situations and things and people, and we keep letting these influences back into our lives, at some point, you know, even God can't help you, because if God said don't go there and we're going there, we expose ourselves. So hear what I'm saying. Understand the principle of separation from the world, not from the whole world, just things in the world that want to become gods to you. Now, listen, everybody's different. And I know that I'll pass on. I'll just say this. Follow God, obey God, be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? I'll leave it there. All right, number four. Again, keys to letting God be God in your life. Looks like I've got, here we go. Number three. We're there? Obey the Word of God when you get around to it. What did it say? What did it say? Obey the Word of God quickly. Find a way to be a doer of the word. God said, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. And so when we could not meet together, we met online, right? March 22nd was the last time we met. We're going to try to meet again at some point. The thing is, you should be thinking about obeying the word and finding a way to do it. Here's a story I'm going to share with you. Remember a man named Gideon. And Gideon was a man God raised up from literally nowhere and made him a deliverer and a hero to his own people after God dealt with him. But he had many tests to pass. And one of the tests he had to pass was God said to him, go tear down your father's altar. Not your altar, your daddy's altar. Tear it down. Go to his house and tear it down. Like, oh, man. Come on, God. But see, I mean, so here's the thing. So the Bible says this. It says, Gideon was too afraid to do it by day, so he did it at night. But he did it. So he did it. He was afraid. He faced his own fear, his small g. His father, he's afraid of his father. That's his G, small G. I'm afraid of my dad. You know, he's going to kill me. He's going to whoop me or something if I go in there and do that. So he went in at night and did it. My point is this, whether it is COVID, whether it is you have failed at something you've tried before, you've struggled in a class, I mean, whatever it might be, if God wants you to do it, if it should be done, find a way to do it, especially if it's in the Word of God. Find a way to do it. Say, Lord, help me to find a way to do what I should do according to your word. Number four, live from the outside, live from the inside out. The Bible says work out your salvation, which means work it from the inside to the outside. So listen, we don't grow as believers by trying to change the outside. So years ago, I was helping a person, and this person, a long time ago, this person was a babe in Christ, and they were struggling with TV, watching bad stuff on TV. And so the conclusion, the person said, well, I'm going to get rid of my TV. Well, I mean, that's the solution, you know, get rid of TV. I give it to me. I'll take your TV, I'll sell it. I'll hold it for you. The point is, her first thought was, I got to get rid of it because that is the problem. But no, the fact is, if the TV was gone, you find something else to obsess over and abuse. Well, obviously, if you work from the inside out, you change your heart. God changes your heart. Then you learn how to handle the television, right? You know, it was foolish back in the day to tell people, you don't go to that movie, don't go to the movie house. Hey, they're going to the movie. So tell them how to go to the movie, see? Teach them how to do things. Because, you know, in fact, my pastor friend, he's a former pastor, Dr. Sullivan, he had a bishop years ago who called the TV a one-eyed devil. The one-eyed, way back in the day, a one-eyed devil. And so, you know, years and years later, he left the church, he moved on and went to visit the bishop at his house, and big old TV sitting up on the wall, you know what I'm saying? You know, so that never works. Outside in living, it never works. Inside out, the outside needs to change, but the change must come from the inside. Even if we say to you, for example, stop shacking up, whatever, you should stop, but understand why God said that. Get it in your heart first why you should change. And then, make the change, but do it from the right motivation. Look at this, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Here's why some people do not make progress. He says this, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. This scripture came to my heart last week. I was handling situations and looking at some things and trying to help folks, and as is my calling. And I realized that sometime myself or others, you can't get people to focus on what they should do because all they keep looking at is that small g God. They keep watching the circumstance. I don't have enough money or I don't feel good. I mean, real stuff. But yet they observe the wind and it won't sow, right? Observing the wind in all the conditions, like Gideon tried to say, Lord, God said to him, you are a mighty man of valor. God said it to him. God spoke to him. He said, yeah, Lord, but I'm the least in my father's house. I'm broke. My daddy broke. His daddy was broke. We all just broke, busted people. This is what he said, in essence. But God stayed with him and helped him out. But this is what happens. If you observe the wind of what your struggles are, what's gone wrong in your life, if you observe that wind, you won't sow. And it says, and he regards the clouds will not reap. This is why it's important for us to let God be God. So these little bitty gods do not get before the living God and hinder us. Amen? Number five, the fifth key for letting God be God in your life. Don't believe the lie that says you cannot change. That's the lie behind astrology, by example. For example, I'm a Sagittarius, I'm a Leo, I'm a Cancer. There's a whole bunch of them. And they hide behind that, see? And so I would do that, but you know, I'm this way. Or I'm Irish, my Irish blood. You black, you ain't got no Irish, you ain't Irish. You got, you know, I had a DNA test. Listen, forget all that. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People sometimes, actually, people who are rude and arrogant try to say, well, it's just the way I am, you know. But God wants to change the way you are. That's why he sent Jesus. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't believe the lie that says I cannot change. Number six, have no confidence in the philosophies of the world regarding the nature of man, of evil, or of God. Again, there's so many things out here, people are lost. And lost people love to talk. Lost folk love to give their opinions. Like I always tell you, if I ask a question, if you don't know, don't help me. I mean, I'm in forums and technology forums, and I'll post sometime, I'll post a drone video or something, person says, well, I don't know about that. Do you fly drones? No. What kind of drone you got? See, why are you talking about this? Why are you in here anyway? See, it's the nature of people, lost people wander around and bump into stuff. Lost people don't know what they're doing, where they're going. Lost folk don't have enough sense to even be quiet. So that's why those little gods, man, those little gods don't stop people from moving and doing things and talking. It's amazing. I mean, they should find a God that just says, shut up. A shut up God. You know, get yourself a shut up God. A shut your mouth God. You know, find one of them. You know what I'm saying? Because these little gods are manifestations of people's confusion and their lostness. And they're all out here saying stuff all over the place, which is their right. But you have to understand, you have to know when it's time to exit, you know, and move out of it, because you have to know when I, you know, don't listen, y'all. Just don't get caught up like that, right? Don't waste your time, because even being distracted, letting folk distract you and make you angry and upset, that's a small g god that wants to come into your life too. All right, number six, number seven, last one, last point for today. Seventh key on letting God be God in your life. Apply God's word and lessons to your everyday life. So this lesson today, all of our lessons, all of our preaching in the church, whatever you hear a man of God say, woman of God say, preaching to you, that is a lesson to apply in your life. Now we have a culture in the black church culture of we want to be moved and entertained. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But if all you come for is to be moved and entertained and lifted and that kind of stuff, then you know better, it's just getting high, you know. And like Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the people, which is not true, but that's people make it seem like that. But no, we want to apply, say apply.
Apply.
Yeah, apply God's word and lessons to your life. You go to school, you take those lessons, you go to class, and the test comes up. And, you know, well, here it is. You have the instruction before the test is application of the instruction. There's some kind of project. There's something you should do to engage what you just heard and to activate that learning. And then then the test comes just to show and to prove, yes, I have applied that lesson. I've applied that instruction and it's working for me. Psalm 86, here's a scripture we began with. Again, read this with understanding in light of our lesson on today. The psalmist said, for you are great and do wondrous things. See, God does nothing like halfway. No small time stuff, you know. He does wondrous things. You alone are God. Say alone.
Alone.
That means I'm not looking at those small g gods, the distractions, the COVID, all that. You know, no, I'm not letting that come in. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Okay, here it is. If you teach me, I'll walk in it. Lord, teach me, I'll walk in it. Teach me, I will walk in it. He says, unite my heart to fear your name. That's a good word, because sometimes our heart is scattered. He said, if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me, right? So our heart sometimes is scattered in things and circumstances and distresses and disappointments and heartbreaks. He said, unite my heart. I find that in prayer, it takes some time just to get my heart united before I can start praying without being distracted. Because I find that if I pray with a heart not united, I'm praying for a minute and then something pops in my mind. An appointment, a Zoom meeting, oil change for my car. I mean, if you don't get your heart together, unite your heart before you pray or do anything for God, those small g gods will drag you off someplace. Okay? Verse 12, he says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Right? You must unite your heart to praise God with all your heart. You can't just listen, hear me. Not many things you can do with all your heart without preparation. You hear that? I mean, praise team and bringing this word today, you just can't just show up and do something with all your heart without preparation. Can't do that. You can do it. Let me say this: we had a person who cut our lawn retire after 26 years. How many years? A bunch of years, okay. And he served us for like several years, but he sold everything. He sold his truck, his lawnmowers, weed whackers. And he sold the whole thing to a guy. And so that guy came and cut our grass for the first time last week. And our neighbor across the street and our yards are both cut at the same time. He hacked up her yard. I mean, hacked it. Even tore up some sod she had put in. On my side, he didn't hack our side up as bad, but it was like it was as bad. I mean, the mower was so high, the grass just blew over. He didn't cut it, just blew it down. I'm like, I could take a foot and raise it back up again. Like, what is this? But then our neighbor, she was not happy. And we found out that this morning, we saw her walking her dog on the way to church. And she said, this was the first time he ever cut grass. I mean, with a big machine like that. I thought, what? You just can't go get a bunch of equipment and go cutting grass. Grass cutting, y'all, there's something to cutting grass, right? There is something to cutting grass properly, you know what I'm saying? So we're done with him. Here's the point I'm making. The point I'm making is this, listen. You got to apply the word and apply lessons to everything. I don't care if you're a preacher, worshiper, grass cutter. You need to understand what you're doing. And I pray this in closing, that we will let God be God. Now, he is God. I'm not saying we can help God. Of course not. You cannot replace God, but we can let other gods get before him. That's what we're saying here on today. And that is, it's in our authority and responsibility, as God said, do not let any gods come before me. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for encouraging us today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts and making it clear what your will is. Thank you for it.